chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. We're kind of stuck in Genesis, right? We're just getting a head start on Sunday. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." We have been talking about intimacy over the last, four weeks. And God has just kind of been placing the intimacy in my heart because he's wanting to draw people into him. And he's wanting to have that intimate relationship with us that he intended to in the Garden of Eden. And so as I was praying Wednesday night and just on my face before the Lord showed me Mount Sinai and the Israelites, and they were doing some things they shouldn't have been doing. And then I got to thinking about, God, you know, when your eyes are hidden, what do we do when we think you're not looking? And you know how it is with little children. I was playing hide and seek with Owen this week, and he always wants to. He loves to play the game. How many play hide and seek? Have you ever played hide and seek? Huh? Every nation around the world, every country around the world has a version of hide and seek. I wonder where that came from. Probably in verse 3 through 10. Because we like to hide ourselves when we're in the wrong. When we're doing something wrong, we don't want God to see. We'll hide ourselves from him. And so me and Owen are playing hide and seek, and he's like, "Well, I'll go hide." He says, "No, Papa, no, no," because he's afraid to be alone. We're outside. And so he grabs his monster truck and he says, "You help me find the monster truck." So he hides the monster truck. And then we pretend that we don't know where it's at, and we look at different places. And then he says, "Ah, I know where he's at." And then we go and find the monster truck, and he's happy, and the monster truck's happy because we found the monster truck. You know how happy God would be if you would not hide yourself from him. Today's message is, what are you hiding from? See, the people, when Moses went up into the mountain and he's getting download from the Lord, there is fire, smoke all over the mountain. And he is up on the mountain for so long that the people think God's not looking. It's like, "Oh, you know what? We need to have something for ourselves that we can worship, even though the God of the heavens is right there in front of them." They have their own agenda. They have their own thought process. Or there are people in unrestraints. See, when they asked Aaron to build us an altar, build us an idol, Aaron, I don't know if he really wanted to, but he was afraid that they was going to kill him. And when they thought God wasn't looking and Moses was away, they began to pull off their earrings and use the things that they had, and they make this calf. What do we do when the Lord's not looking? See, in Exodus 24, 12 through 18, this is the story. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone, and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them.'" See, God was already trying to set out their destiny. God was trying to establish their destiny while they were waiting on him. It says, so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now it says, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now, this is a prerequisite of what is going to happen in the future, or what God has already established. For 6 days, God had rested on the mountain. Does that sound familiar? 6 days, God rested on the mountain. And then on the seventh day, he said, come up. Come into my presence. There is coming a time that the church and the people that believe God are going to come into the presence of the Lord physically, spiritually. Jesus is coming back. This is just something that he says here. I just picked up, and it's a picture of what's taking place. There'll be 6 days or 6,000 years, and then the seventh year, this 1,000-year reign of Christ will come forth. It says, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. It was like a consuming fire. The Israelites seen this going on. There's a fire and there's smoke for 6 days on the mountain. Are they afraid of the fire and smoke? I think they're in awe. But I don't know if they're afraid of it. Because they eventually say, Aaron, build us something. We don't know what happened to Moses. We don't know. But the fire and the clouds are still on the mountain. Even though they could see the presence of the presence of God on the mountain, they were still had their own agendas at heart. It goes on to say, so Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. See, they felt that the eyes of God was not looking at them at the time. So they allowed their own desires to creep into their hearts. How many have their own lust and desires in their hearts? I'm going to say everyone does. But while they were trying to manipulate their future, God was establishing their destiny. See, how many times do we try to manipulate our future? So we have our own plans, our own agendas. Well, God, I don't think this is what you're telling me to do. I don't think this is the church I'm supposed to be at. I don't really know, God, but I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But in reality, deep down in our spirit, deep down in our own desires, it's like, I want something better, God. And we hide it from him. See, God was establishing their destiny. God is establishing our destiny. Not our own lust and desires, not what we think is important. So many times we do not listen to the Holy Spirit and we listen to our own thoughts. And that's what I love about what's going on in the last, five, six, seven, 8 weeks here in Calvary is we've been beginning to focus our eyes on Jesus. And it's changing everything about us. Don't try to establish your own future, but let God establish your destiny. See, when God is not looking, what are you doing in the hiding places of your life? What are you holding back from God? How many of you are planning your own destiny right now? I guarantee there's thoughts that went through your mind as I've been talking about things that you have been thinking about and doing. How many are planning out their own destiny right now in their minds? You have just been in the presence of the Lord for the last 40 minutes or last hour. But we still have that thing in our in the depths of our soul that wants to have it our way. Or there's hurts in our life, there's pain in our life that we guard and we've never give it to God. We just bottle it up and it flows out of us because it's still in us and we've never allowed it to get out of us. We try to keep ourselves on the outside. On the outside, I'm okay. I'm spiritual. I worship. I raise my hands. But on the inside, I'm tore apart. I'm tore apart on the inside. God wants totally rest. He wants to be, wants you to be totally restored. And he doesn't want you to have to deal with those things of the past. But as long as we keep those things hidden, see, in a relationship, in an intimate relationship, there can be nothing hidden between you. It has to be an open concept. So you know, husbands and wives, if you are at you fight constantly or fighting all the time or every once in a while you get in these arguments, there's things that you have been withholding from your spouse. And you know that if you would tell them that they would be angry with you. Or if you would tell them they would think differently of you. But what is really going on is if you would expose those things that are in you that you have been holding back from them, you would find out that the intimate relationship would grow leaps and bounds because then there is nothing holding you back. Because what the enemy wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy. And if you keep those things in hiding, see, there's no hiding in God. You go into the hiding place, and we talk about that secret place of prayer. You go into there. That's the only hiding place you go. God is our hiding place, and we go into God for that hiding place. But not into the enemy's camp. And so as long as we keep those things within us and we don't relate to each other our secrets, are we really intimate with each other? Are we truly intimate with each other if we keep those things that you don't know about me and I don't know about you, are we truly intimate with each other? See, God wants you to be truly intimate with him. He has exposed himself to all of us and to who he is. He had men inspired by the Holy Spirit write a book to tell you all the characteristics of who he is. Everything that you want to know about God is in here. What you don't know, the Holy Spirit will lead you in. But we neglect the Holy Spirit. We neglect him because we think, well, I just don't want to get rid of that. That's something that's personal to me, and I just want to keep it, and I don't want nobody to know. Well, nobody has to know except God. And so we can tell God that we have an issue. God, I have an issue, and still keep it and still hold on to it and never truly give it away to him. See, in our opening scripture, Adam and Eve was after their disobedience, after they weren't hiding from God until they made a mistake. They never hid from God. They was always open, out in the open before God. There was nothing to hide. And soon as they disobeyed God, as soon as they did what he said not to do. Because he knew if they ate of the tree that their eyes would be open to the sin. And immediately when they ate, they knew. And when you could imagine when God's voice echoed through the garden, Adam, Adam, you knew what went his. You ever been caught doing something you wasn't supposed to be doing? As soon as you heard the voice, it's like, oh, right? It's exactly what Adam went through. And then he hid himself from God. I don't want you to know, God. I don't want you to know what I just did. The The problem was God was not going to stop searching for him until he found him. He was going to search for him until he found him in the garden, wherever he could try to hide. And see, that's what's so good about God is he will keep searching for you until you totally reject him. And then he still searches for you. Ain't that something? Ain't that something that even though you totally reject him, he will still search for you. Even though you harden your heart. The word hide in Hebrew means chaba. It means secret or to hide oneself or to do secretly. How many are hiding something in themselves right now? How many are hiding something that you know God knows, but you hide it? No one knows. No one knows. How can you be intimate with the Father when you don't even tell him? Even though he knows. Even though he knows. How can you be intimate with the Father when you're holding back those things from the Father? See, he wants a communication. How can you be intimate with your wife or husband without, when you're holding back the things that will really draw you together? See, Adam and Eve was hiding in their physical body in hopes God would not see them. But today, people are hiding in their spiritual self, their spiritual body, in hopes God won't see. On the outside, we worship. Out on the outside, we kneel down before the Lord. On the outside, we say, oh God, here I am, here I am. Take my life. We sung it today. We sung it today, and if you sung it today, have you totally given your life? Have you totally given your life to God? Because when you keep those little small pieces away from him, you are not truly intimate with him. It's a surface intimacy. We say to ourselves, as long as we read the Bible, as long as we worship, as long as we serve, I'm okay. I'm not saying if you keep things from God, I'm not saying that if you keep those things in yourself, in your spirit, that you're not going to go to heaven. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is God wants true intimacy with you. He wants to take you to the level that you can't even imagine. He wants you to bring you back to the garden, that relationship that he had with Adam and Eve, and then the garden is where he's wanting to take you back to. But we stay so far away from him because we hold on to those things. See, it's always good to serve, to worship and pray and read your Bible. But God is wanting something more. He is wanting that relationship that can grow, because we can only grow as far as we allow God to grow in our life. We only have so much intimacy that we will give, and he can only give so much back to us, because it's a two-way street. You see it in the marriage all the time. One person will give more than the other. And then that person that's not giving as much will give as much back to the person eventually. But if you both give everything to each other, then the fullness of the intimacy grows. Why do we not give God everything? See, openly we say we love God, but we have our own agendas. We have our own ideas of what we want to do. We have our own thoughts and desires, and we allow our own feelings and emotions to get in the way. Never fully giving ourselves to God. Never fully giving ourselves to God. Past hurts. How many have been hurt in the past by someone, something, some parent, some brother, sister, whatever. You know, you could raise your hand all across the room. You could raise your hand. Friend, church. Feel disgusted or feel like, oh, you know what, you know, and get all upset. And all that does is in your intimate relationship with God, it destroys it. And here's what happens is the Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when he puts a wedge in the church or he puts a wedge in your thoughts, in your desires, all he does is begin to kill your relationships. He begins to kill your relationship with your church. He begins to kill your relationship with your husband. He begins to kill your relationship with him. All because of hurts. All is because of maybe somebody made a mistake. All because of somebody maybe said something that maybe they didn't mean, but they said it. Well, now we won't let the hurts go. I'm going to hold on to them. It's revenge to me. It's revenge. I want revenge. Absolutely not. The Bible tells us to pray for our enemies, right? Pray for your enemies. Give them drink. Give them food. Give them whatever you need. Pray for your enemies. Hard thing to do when someone wrongs you, isn't it? But out of the relationship with the Father, out of that relationship grows, and then you begin to have the heart of the Father, and then you can forgive. And then you can, those past hurts can go away. Friday night, the Lord brought Isaac up to me in Genesis 22, 3 through 9. He said, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, that the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And then he bound his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, as you know, Abraham's up in age, right? He's 115, 113 years old at the time. Isaac's probably around 13 or somewhere in there. Isaac could have fought his dad. But here's the thing. Here's what the Lord was saying. The Lord was saying, will you be like Isaac and really lay your life on the altar? Will you really lay your and be open before him? The only reason I read that scripture is to say, you know, will you be like Isaac and lay your life down before God? We sung it today. I'll lay my life down before you, God. I'll give you everything. And then we hold back. We're lying to God. Where does a liar go? When you look at it that way, we're actually lying to God. I'll give you everything, but no, you can't have this. We need to be like Isaac. Lay our own agendas down. Isaac had a life ahead of him. But he laid his own agenda down. Knowing that his dad told him that God will provide, he trusted his dad enough to know that when his dad spoke, the Lord will provide, climbing the mountain, the Lord will provide the lamb. He trusted his dad and he trusted the Lord. He was raised up in the Lord. And so he laid his own agenda down. How many here would fight for your life? Or are you still fighting today? See, intimacy requires full openness from each party. When we hold or hide our hurts or sins from God, it hinders God from fully setting you free from the bondage that you're in. Everything that you do out in the world, not even in the church, everything and everyone you come in contact with inside this building, outside this building, in your family, everyone you come in contact with, and we talked about the oil a couple weeks ago, or last week, you are pouring out what you have put in. If you have past hurts or your oil is contaminated, you're going to burn that contamination. You're going to admit that to other people. You're going to have the attitude, and not no gratitude, but you're going to have attitude from your hurts. You can't truly reveal God. You can't truly reveal Jesus and imitate him if you are holding on to the hurts. We say, well, I don't know how to get rid of them. Well, there's plenty of ways to get rid of them. I've lived with this all my life. I don't know why it's continually comes up over and over and over in my life. Saturday's a way to get rid of them. Jesus wants to set your whole body, sozo, right? Sozo is saved, healed, and delivered. It's the total package of who Jesus is. Salvation, saved, healed, and delivered. It's the total package. Jesus wants the fullness of him in you. But we stop that fullness of God in us because we are so agenda-oriented. Every day we carry the weight we are hiding. Every day we carry the weight we're hiding. We might not think about it every day. It might not come up every 2 or 3 weeks. But then all of a sudden that thought comes up in your mind and you carry that weight that's been hurting you for years. You take it out on everybody else that's around you. When you witness to someone, you try to show God's joy and you think you are, but there's still something binding that or holding that back. See, when you hide or you put on a mask around people, you're not being true to yourself and you're not being true to God and you're not being true to that person. There's so many people put masks on inside the church. Inside the church, they're putting masks on. When did God say put masks on? When did God say to be different? He's called you to be different. He's called you out of the past to carry on his light, not a light that's contaminated with the enemy. This is just an example. Say I had a girlfriend way back, and I've never got rid of the thought in my mind. And so now me and my wife are trying to work out our marriage, and we're you know, we've got 30, how many years we got? 29, 30 years. You don't remember. I put you on the spot. 29. Good job, Tabby. That's right. So 29 years we've been working out our marriage. But I still had the thought of this same girl in my mind, okay? Do you think that hinders my relationship with my wife? Well, why would that? I mean, she don't know it. Why? I'm not giving my whole self to her. But she don't know. She don't know I'm not giving my whole self to her. But I'm okay with holding on to that secret. It's not okay? Because, see, that's because in that relationship, I'm holding something back. I can never be fully engaged with her until I say, you know what, I'm so sorry that I've had this thought in my mind all these years. And now she's going to be mad at me, right? Any woman would, or any guy would be mad if the woman, it could be roles reversed. But if I said I'm sorry, man, I'm the Lord has been teaching me, he's been showing me some things, and I need to get set free from this. And this is how our relationship can grow, that she can feel comfortable about telling me anything because I'm open before her. See, the devil wants you to put on the mask because he wants to use you to tear down other people. He loves to get inside the church. He loves to get inside people in the church that are willing to put the mask on, because all they can do is start to infiltrate the church. Hey, you know what they said? You know what they're doing? I don't believe it that it's that. I don't believe it. I don't believe it that's right. I don't believe deliverance. I don't believe in salvation. You know, oh, that's so wrong. That's not the way Jesus said to do it. All it takes is someone to start talking. And it begins to weave itself inside the church. And then it begins to weave itself out into the public when you go out, and it's just all you need is grace. See, the enemy loves to put masks on because he hides the true nature of who God is. See, God wants you to be empty of yourself to put on Christ inside of yourself. So you empty yourself of the old things and put Christ on the inside. The enemy is not going to stop tearing down the church. He's going to escalate, tearing apart the church of God. We see it now in the Methodist church. A lot of Methodist churches are stepping up and saying, hey, you know what? We don't agree with this, what you're doing. We're stepping out. There's churches in Terre Haute, Indiana, that got $500,000. They're wedged $500,000 against the Methodist church. So if they have to get out of the Methodist church and they want to keep their building, they're $500,000 in debt to them. You have to pay it. Or you stand up and you say, here's the keys. We don't need a church. We'll set up a tent. We'll meet in homes. We'll do whatever it takes. But somewhere you got to make a stand. But see, the enemy is trying to destroy the church all around the world. There's surfacey churches. There's seeker-friendly churches. You can come in, oh, God loves you, and he does. But there's never a message of repentance. There's never a message of sin. There's never a message of you need to change your life. You need to do something on the inside. You need to change those dirty habits that you got. You need to change, because you know what? Even though God loves you, sin is still sin. And it doesn't matter. How are you supposed to have an intimate relationship with the Father as you live in sin? God cannot look upon sin. The only way he can look upon you is because why? Because the blood of Jesus covers you. That is the only reason God can look upon us, is because his Son was slain on a cross and the blood poured out on the cross that gives us salvation and redemption. It covers our sins, that God can look down upon you and say, now that is my children. I want to have a relationship with them because they believe in the Son. Intimacy is openness, even when it hurts. But intimacy cannot grow if we hold back those secrets or hidden things. Here's a story in the book of Acts, and I'm almost finished. Acts 5, 1 through 4. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Ananias and Sapphira had an agenda in their heart. They were worried about their future, but I want to look good to the people of the church. They were so worried about how they would be perceived in the family or the church of God at the time, because everyone was selling their possessions and giving to the church. So they thought they would do the same. You can't be a follower if you're not truly following God. If you want to be half a follower, then say, I'm only half a follower. Be open with the Holy Spirit. I'm only going to give you this much. Be open. I'm not going to pour myself out. I lie to God every time I come to the altar and say, God, I lay my life down on the altar, God, today. I give you my life completely. I'm sold out for you, God. And I pray that, and I anguish that, and then I go, and my own agenda is at hand. When we have decisions in our life, do we go to God? Is your life your own? When you have those decisions you have to make in life, did you go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? We need to get out of our own agendas and have God's established plan for our life work in us. How many have prayed, Lord, I'll give you my life? You ever prayed that prayer? Lord, I'll give you my life. Have you really given him your life? And still hold something back today. So as we close today, there's a few questions I'm going to ask you today. And then the Holy Spirit's already talked to you and he's already spoken to you today because the presence of the Lord has been in his house. So the question of the day is, what are you hiding from God? That's causing your relationships in the church. It's causing your relationships at home. It's causing your relationships in your workplace to not be right. What are you hiding from God this morning? Why are you still hiding, why are you still holding on to the lies and thoughts that the enemy has placed in you? The enemy has placed thoughts in people's lives in this church today when they were little children. And they still believe those lies today. They still believe them today. That's what the Lord told me. This is what the Lord told me last night. He said, there are people in this room and over the internet today that is of this church. The Lord said, you're playing both sides of the fence. He said, I'm not playing games with you. I'm not playing games with you. You cannot play both sides of the fence. This is the Lord saying there's people in this church today on live stream when they listen to it that's not in this room today. He said, I'm done playing games. Quit playing on both sides of the fence. You're either in it or you're not. You're either of me or you're not. Quit playing games with the Holy Spirit. If it was back in a time of the book of Acts and you lied to the Holy Spirit, don't you think those people, when Ananias and Sapphira was carried out, don't you think that nobody was going to lie to the Holy Spirit at the time? But we have so much grace and we have so much false teaching in the church today that we can lie to the Holy Spirit and we can do whatever we want to do and we can have grace and live our life however we want to and we're still saved and we're still going to heaven and we can lie and cheat and murder and do whatever we want and have hate speech or do whatever and we're still going to heaven because everyone goes to heaven. That's a false statement and that comes from the pit of hell and it's not going to be that way. God says he's coming for a church that is spotless and wrinkless. He's coming for a church that is going to shine bright the goodness of Jesus. And there are so many people going to be left behind. He said, you say you trust me, but you never fully give me control. Or you don't have enough faith to say so. You say you fully trust me, but you never do. It's either that or you don't have enough faith to trust him. The Lord gave me a word this morning that's called fear, F-E-A-R. Here's what that means. There's two meanings to it. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. Today is the day that you need to choose. You need to choose, what are you going to hide from God and what are you not? Are you really going to lay at the altar, lay at your home, lay in your closet and say, God, I give you everything. I want you to work through my life. I want you to be a part of me. I want to win souls for you, God. I want to show my family that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to give you everything. But then you hold back the things that he wants you to give to him because you're so ashamed, so afraid of not giving it to him. You're afraid that he won't look at you. He'll look at you in a downcast way. And absolutely not, he won't. He will love you because he will draw closer to you as you draw closer to him. He only draws as close as you allow him to get. See, the presence of God can be in this room, and some of you never feel it and never know it. My prayer in the last month has been, God, I want everyone that walks in this room to feel the weightiness presence of the Lord. I mean the weightiness presence of the Lord. What we've been noticing is God has been doing things in our service without anybody praying. We've been hearing stories of God touching people. Sometimes they're afraid to tell us, and sometimes it's just we hear it. But God is touching people in the service without anybody praying. And then we're seeing moments where we're praying for people, and God is just literally wrecking them, and then all of a sudden they're being healed. But we got to get on a mindset of, God, this is all about you. Nothing in me that can hold me back from you. We need to get into that place. So this morning, I just put on some music just for a minute. And I'm not going to linger because this is the choice, and you either want it or you don't. If you're dealing with things you're holding from God today, or you're playing on the fence, you're playing the fence, you're playing, okay, God, I got an agenda here. If it doesn't go this way, then I'll go this way. Or if it's not quite right here, then I'll move this way. God's saying you can't play the fence. I have established from the very beginning your destiny. I have established your destiny. You can't establish your own destiny. You're only going to mess it up. The enemy is going to try to just come in and tear apart the destiny God has for your life. And so today, if you want to come to the altars, you're coming on your own. No one's going to pray for you, but you're going to come before the Lord and you're going to make a commitment. So Father God, I come before you, God. Father, over every heart in this place and online. Father, those things that are hidden in the heart, those things are hidden deep within the soul that they've been hiding from you. I hear people crying out to know you more. God, I want to know you more. And I hear him say, I can only give you as much as you will let me have. And so, God, in this intimate relationship with you, we want to pour out ourselves before you. We want to be like Isaac and lay it all on the altar. Father, we want to stop hiding like Adam hid in the garden. But when we make mistakes, God, we want to come boldly to you. We want to run to you and say, God, I made a mistake. Forgive me, Lord. So, Father, over every heart in this place, Holy Spirit, you are the one that moves and gives wisdom. Have your way in their hearts this morning.